Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, Santa Monica College. This is, first of all, you are listening to the one and only Corsair Radio, and I must also put in a little disclaimer for you. The contents of Corsair Radio doesn't necessarily represent Santa Monica College, the faculty, the staff, the employees, or the student body. That's your disclaimer. And you are all listening to the third genuine episode of Arialistic Linguistics. This is my third episode. I made two other episodes that haven't gone into rotation yet on our Live 365 app, but hopefully they will soon. And just to let you know again, where you can listen to Corsair Radio, of course, you go on live365.com, you type in Corsair Radio there, and now we have our own Corsair Radio app for any of your iProducts, iPhone, iPod Touch, iPod, and iTablets, iPads, those are the tablets. We have Live 365 and the Corsair Radio app on those two. So, as I said, you are listening to the third episode of Arialistic Linguistics, and for the first... Oh, hold on. Okay, now I think you can all hear me. Okay, great. Just turn on the live. We're going live now. All right. So, as I was saying, you are listening to the third episode of Arialistic Linguistics. On the first episode, I talked about the Tea Party, the bank bailouts, and the Occupy Wall Street movement. And on my second episode, I spoke about subjects such as the Arab Spring and overall current events. For my third episode, I want to latch on to where I cut off from my last episode. Now, if you remember correctly, in my last episode, I was talking about robot chicken. What happened with that thing where we were listening to the robot chicken parody of Darth Vader and Lando, where Darth Vader kept altering the deal over and over and over again, and Lando just kept on getting more and more pissed off because he knew there was nothing he could do about it, until in the end he said, you know what, if I keep getting more angry, this guy is gonna alter the deal 500 more times on me. Let me just say this is a good deal, and I should leave. Now, the thing that I compared it to was with me and people in my generation. And I kept talking about they keep asking us for more and more and more experience. When, I mean, think about it. The deal was, you know, 12 years of education in elementary, middle, and high school. You can finally find a job, like, just to do. You can start from there. And then after that, you can go higher and higher up in the job. But now it seems that with this horrible economy, we can't even get hired. So let me kind of explain it to you like this. Why this is important to me? Because I don't know so much about you. Now, throughout my entire life, I always wanted to be independent, so I wouldn't have to deal with both of, I wanted to be independent. Why do you think I wanted to be independent? Now, my first two shows that weren't Arialistic Linguistics, like talk show variety shows, were shows about creativity in school and the divorce problem. Now, both of those things, the divorce and public education, and I think I said it about a billion times in my other shows, specifically middle school and divorce, had an extremely negative impact in my life. I wasn't happy in the divorce. I felt like I was being tossed around like some kind of football by my parents. You want money from this parent, go to the other one. You want money from that parent, go to the other one. The whole thing is explained in my On Divorce radio show. And the other thing that I explained on my creativity, schools and creativity radio show, was that why are students unhappy in schools and why are they bored? What are we doing wrong? So you have to tell yourself, your parents and your school, you have no control over. You have no control over what your teachers do and what your parents do. But when you're independent and you're making your own income and you're happy with the job you have, you do have control over your life, you know, the rest of your life. And I'm not going to paint a rosy picture, because that's not what I'm here to do. I am here to get as much ratings as possible and hopefully be provocative as possible without cursing. I know that may sound impossible, but I don't like cursing. I think that your opinions and your views can be expressed so much more eloquently without cursing. But that's why I'm not going to use any seven of those dirty words. I'm never going to mention them. I'm never going to say them, because I don't like people who curse to make a point. If you have a point, you can, if you're intelligent, you can do it without cursing. So without cursing, I'm just going to say I'm pissed off. I am pissed off. I know I went into the red. I know I kind of shouted there, but it's the truth, and the truth is the truth. Why do you think I'm pissed off? It's because all the time that I go into some kind of career help center or temp agency or any kind of garbage like that, they do an absolutely terrible job at what they have to do. And I'm just going to say, if your job is helping other people to get a job and you can't do that job, why are you there in the first place? Quit or retire. I mean that's my opinion. What's yours? Like I said, I gave you my contact information. I gave you all that stuff on yahoo.com, but I'm just going to say all this. I'm going to keep all people anonymous. I don't want to go after specific people, so I'm going to keep this really anonymous. And I'm just going to say this. Once I was working with an internship counselor, I'm not even going to say name or who she was or where she worked, and then she's all like, you know, like, it says I'm an internship coordinator, but I really can't help you find an internship. You have to do that yourself. Then why are you an internship coordinator if I have to do it myself? Why are you even here? Ugh. God, it's just, use your head. I mean, use your common sense, for goodness sake. If it specifically says, and some of these other career and temp agencies that I go to, they're all like, oh yeah, we can help you, but we're not really a headhunting company that can get you any kind of career or any kind of employment. Well, then maybe that's what I'm looking for. Maybe then can you please guide me to someone or some website that is? And don't give me websites like Monster.com. Don't give me websites like Indeed and all that other junk. I'm sorry. I'm going to call it junk because they just don't work. And most of the offers that I get from these bogus sites are like, please give us your bank account and we will send $1,000 to that bank account and you will get the remaining 25% we made from the tax or some garbage like that. And it's like, give me a break. You think I'm honestly gonna fall for that garbage so you can steal everything from me after how hard I worked in school and college to just have my life messed up by a scam like that, by using some kind of website, some kind of career website that's supposed to be a legitimate website? No freaking way! Sorry, I just need to take, like, a little breather for a second. But, you guys, I'm doing this on purpose. Because, like, I want to be real. I want to be true. Anyway, What else? What else did I have on my mind? I just want to get off. You know, and a big deal for me, why I always wanted to make my own income and why I always wanted to make my own money and to finally get a career that I love is because all of my parents fighting would mostly specifically be about money. Hey, I want to buy that new iPad or whatever it is. I would tell my dad, go get it from your mom. I would tell my mom, go get it from your dad. They're hiding money. Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, I don't care. I just want, I got good grades. I just want something to be a little happy. And I can't make my own income right now because I'm just in high school or I'm just in middle school. Do they care? Does society care about all this stuff? No, they don't. They don't give a damn. Sorry, you're. I don't know. And this is why the economy is getting me like off my rocker. This is why I'm going nuts here. Because my like for 12 years straight, I got good grades. I did what I had to do in school. I finished the assignments. I did all the reports. I did everything that was asked for me. And then you just graduate, and it's all like, oh, sorry, the economy's bad. You don't get a job. Too bad. Bye bye. No freaking way. No freaking way. And if you think I'm just going to sit here and be silent and take that, you got another thing coming. You have got another thing coming. Anyway, let's see. Specifically about money. And, and to tell you the truth, when I was young, my life wasn't even really that fun. I mean, it was a little bit of a nightmare because I lived with my grandparents. And guess what? I am still living in that same exact house, the grandparents' house, even to this day, since they passed away, I'm still living in that same exact house, and I just want something new for myself. I want something extraordinary. I want something fun. I don't want the same old thing again and again and again, but until I can't get some kind of career, some kind of jump start to put me somewhere, I just have to deal with the same things again and again and again, no matter what I do, because they just come up with this excuse that the economy is bad. Well, that's not my fault. Whose fault is that? Go blame him. I did what I had to do. Anyway, let's see. And another reason, what else was it? I mean, when I was young, like, I had braces, people were making fun of me for that. I couldn't really, I lived in a house, like, all the way up in the hills, distant from the nearest civilization. I couldn't go anywhere because, of course, I was too young to drive. I didn't have my own car. All the time, my parents would argue, oh, come to the gate to pick him up. No, you have to come all the way up here. No, you have to come this. You have to do that. And I just said, I had enough of this. And I want to be independent. I want to be my own person. But with this bad, and then all of a sudden you graduate and you go to 2 years and 4 years and it's like, oh, sorry about the economy. You can't be independent. The economy is bad, so you're just going to have to get stuck without having a job. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's disgusting. Anyway, let me just say, so why am I sharing all of this with you? Why? You're going to say, okay, Aria, look, these are your problems, but we're your audience, and we want something to listen to. Maybe we have problems of our own, and Aria, like, quite honestly, we don't want to listen to your problems. Everyone's just got problems. Deal with them. Probably that's the kind of response that you would give me. But let me just tell you something, for all of you people out there who I honestly don't know who you are. When I was young, I had a dream, just like Martin Luther King had a dream. And this was my dream. One day, I'd have my own place. I'd make my own money. And that was just a bit of my dream. Now, the ultimate dream that I had is one day that I'd live in a penthouse. In, like, a luxury condo. And I'd have, like, a helicopter on that condo, taking me everywhere I wanted to go. And if I wanted to leave the state or the country, my helicopter would take me to my own airport, and I'd have a private jet waiting for me to take me wherever I wanted to go. Well, this was my personal dream, but I also had a dream for the world, specifically for the youth. And specifically for the youth
that were affected by public education and their parents' divorce. Now, before I go into that dream, I'm going to give all of you the Martin Luther King I Have a Dream auto-tune remix, since we're talking about dreams.
Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation, the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time. Now is the time. I have a dream. Every valley shall be exalted. I have a dream. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. I have a dream. My children will not be judged by the color of their skin. This is our home. I have a dream. The rough places will be made plain. I have a dream. The crooked places will be made straight. That is something that I must say. We cannot turn back. I have a dream today. And for Americans to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom reign from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom reign from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom reign from the hiking alligators of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. Let freedom ring. Let freedom ring. Not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And when it happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all across human, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last, thank God Almighty, we are free at last. I have a dream, every valley shall be exalted. I have a dream, every hill and mountain shall be made low. I have a dream today. My children will not be judged by the color of their skin. This is our home. I have a dream. The rough places will be made plain. I have a dream. The crooked places will be made straight. That is something that I must say. We cannot turn back. I have a dream today.
Wow. That was Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream auto-tune remix. And I really don't care what your opinions on auto-tuning are. I just by the way they compose that thing, like, I have a dream, everybody, let me hear you say, I have a dream, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. So I think that whether they're big dreams or small dreams, whether it's a dream of finally getting out of that abusive relationship and not having to, I'm just coming up with hypotheticals here, and getting a new, like, partner in life that loves you more, or whether it's any kind of dream, like a dream that you have this small, tiny business, and one day this small, tiny business will turn into this big, gigantic corporation where you're the CEO, and then you just look on that moment, and you're like, oh, that the dream that I have, it finally came. Whether it's any kind of dream, I just think, not dreams as in when you go to sleep and you dreamt that you were, like, flying in the sky or something like that. Although, dreams like that can also come true. I mean, there are such things as jetpacks, and people, you know, we live in a very technologically advanced society, and people do make jetpacks, and that can come true, but that's not the point. The point is, it's a dream that when you were young, you had some kind of dream like that, and you said, one day, this is gonna be me. This is gonna be what I'm doing, what I love to do, and I'm doing it, and my dream is finally coming. That's important. So I already shared, like, the kind of, like, it, and I'm not gonna lie, because lying is wrong. the kind of selfish dream that I had, that what would happen to what I want to happen to me in my future, what I thought my future was going to be like. But I mean, what am I right now? I'm just 23. I'm not 40 yet. Maybe when I'm 40, that dream will come true. You don't know. But I also had a dream for young people in this country. And I say it's the truth. You know how I feel about it? And of course I talked about it in my divorce radio show, but it kind of felt like I was reading from a script. I was reading from like this little script, and I wasn't really expressing myself. But I'm gonna do that right here. I had a dream that why are young people all the time? Young people are always considered like ignorant or they don't have experience, and they're always shunned away in our society, and they're always treated like some kind of tool. And everyone just thinks that's okay. Just because a person is young doesn't mean a young person has to be discriminated against. That's what I'm talking about. Like especially young people who don't do well in school, they're always discriminated against as being lazy or just rude or whatever. But we live in a free society where everyone has rights. And I just think that young people never had rights to begin with. Never ever had rights to begin with. And where do these arbitrary ages of 18 and 21 just come into play out of thin air? All of a sudden, when you're 17, you have no rights and no responsibilities. Then when you're 18, what happens on your 18th birthday? Can you tell me? Does a humongous bubble just envelop around your entire body on your 18th birthday? And then after that bubble comes around you, you just like float into the sky with your arms out into the air. And it's like those movies. I mean, life isn't a movie. Like, it's a movie where you're just like in this bubble, and this bubble keeps turning and turning and turning, and then like all of a sudden the bubble comes down back to Earth, and then it just like disappears, and you're like, I'm 18 now. I understand. I have rights and responsibilities. No, that is not what happens. And to think that someone is an older person when they wouldn't even have any kind of experiences when they're 18 and when they're 21, which are just arbitrary numbers, is a complete load of junk. I'm not going to curse. I'm not going to use the S word. It's a load of junk. I mean, I know I'm being really like in your face and passionate and all that stuff, but that's just the way I want to express myself today. Because I don't want to go through the same things that I had to go through when I was younger. Now that I'm 23, I deserve a little bit more freaking respect for doing everything that I had to do in my getting the grades in my life and filling out hundreds of job applications just to get like no respect around here. Now, what else did I have to say? So I said I had a dream for myself, and I had a dream specifically for the youth. That what I think one day like should happen with young people, and maybe I'll express that in my other radio show. But in this radio show, I want to be a little bit passionate, and I want to be a little bit provocative. And if you don't like it, change the station, don't listen, do something else. But if you like it, thanks. And if you like some of the things that I'm saying, but you disagree with some of the other things that I'm saying, I gave you my email and my Facebook page like 100 times. I'll spell them at the end of the show because I'm not going to go through that again. My Facebook name is Ariel Bakshande, which is A-R-I-E-L. I'm spelling it again. Ariel Bakshande is my email. And also, when you look on I just noticed the Live 365 app, when you type in Corsair Radio, it always gives you my name up there. So that shouldn't be hard. Just use that same exact name to find me on Facebook. And my email is smartman400@yahoo.com. So I just had a dream that one day young people wouldn't be judged by their age. Just like Martin Luther King had a dream that colored people wouldn't be judged by the color of their skin, I had a dream that young people wouldn't just be judged by their age, and they would be judged on what they do, how they speak, how they carry themselves in public. And this dream is mostly for, like, the troubled youth. So in reality, I mean, right now, sitting here in this broadcasting room, I still have this dream when I was living in that terrible hellhole of a middle school. And I think that this dream, it was already revealed to you in both of my two radio shows, the one on divorce and the one on education. Well, the one on education wasn't specifically about young people and young people's rights, because Sir Ken didn't really talk about that. Sir Ken didn't really talk about that and go into specifics on that. Sir Ken just generally said that schools are killing creativity. But for me, it's not just about schools and creativity. It's about schools and the rights you should have in school when you're in school. I'll just give you a little example. I won't really go into detail, but the kind of thing that when I see what happens in public schools, that when a student asks to go to the bathroom and the teacher is, like, controlling that and saying, "No, you only go to the bathroom when I tell you to go to the bathroom." And I think to myself, would any adult ever accept being treated in the same way? Just imagine if you were working at a job and you told your boss, "I really need to go to the restroom." And then the boss said, like, "No, you only go to the restroom when I tell you to go to the restroom." That boss would be sued. It's typical. But this is just some of the things I have a problem with. And maybe in episode 4, I'll go a little bit more into detail. Like I said, I thought with the trouble with the other two shows that I made on creativity and divorce is that I explained everything, but I really didn't use enough passion. And I think that not all the time, but sometimes, passion comes from ordinary people in extraordinary times. That's where I think passion comes from. Ordinary people in extraordinary times. But everyone, be careful. The extraordinary just doesn't mean that they're good. What I mean that passion comes from extraordinary people in ordinary people is in extraordinary times are the people who just say, "Listen, this has gone on long enough, and we're not going to take it anymore." I remember I used that in my other radio show, the radio show on divorce, "We're not going to take it anymore." But literally, those were the people, and maybe they were extraordinary people to begin with. I don't know, because I don't know them personally, but let's just name a few of these people, what we can think of them. Mahatma Gandhi. Mahatma Gandhi was an extraordinary person who kind of changed the kind of ways things were going in India, where they couldn't take the British rule of India anymore, and all the Indians wanted to revolt against British colonization. I just gave you an example of another person who was probably an extraordinary person, and even more extraordinary in that extraordinary time. Civil rights leader Martin Luther King. He was an extraordinary person. Now, for me, when we talk about people like Malcolm X, I don't know. I'm not really going to commend Malcolm X that much, just because this is just my opinion, because I thought like he said any means necessary and he wanted to use violence. But I think as Malcolm X kind of matured and he went and he did his little pilgrimage to Mecca and everything like that, he found out that violence wasn't the answer, just like what Martin Luther King was saying. But I'm going to give you an example. Well, you all know this guy. I'm just going to, like I said, even in my last radio show, I didn't even want to say his name because it brings up strong emotions. But I'm just going to say the H-man, the scumbag. I'm just going to call him the scumbag who brought on a huge disaster to humanity. The H-Man. You all know him. The guy who had that messed up cross for the symbol. And the party who did so many horrible things to Europe and the rest of the world. And because of them, a lot of people have to suffer because of this man, his ideas, and his party. Now, that is an example of an evil person. But you know, before that happened, Germany was the Weimar Republic. And it was going through, like, extraordinary times. It was like a depression, but a really, really terrible, horrible, evil man came out of that instead of a righteous man. You see, Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King were righteous men, whereas this evil man, this evil German man, was an evil man. I'm not going to say his name even, because I just want to puke when I say a name like that. So, speaking of people who you have to trust with your own instincts to be either good or evil, I'm going to play this song by Green Day called Do You Know Your Enemy? Enjoy. So, that was Do You Know Your Enemy by Green Day, the famous band. I really don't know that much about them, but I just thought that song really fit into what we were talking about. Now, before I go into my little rants, of course, the whole thing that I kind of did before this was basically a rant, so I don't know, like, can I say before I go into the rant? I just wanted to tell you that in my life, I never had a hero. I never had a person, like, who I looked up to and I said, when I grow up, I want to be just like Superman. No, that really wasn't me. I always wanted to be a hero for other people. And I guess that kind of passion for being a hero for other people kind of did come out in middle school. Now, I'm just going to tell you guys this much. In 8th grade, in the middle of 8th grade, we all had this thing called a community circle where we would all talk about the stuff that angers us just the stuff that was near and dear to us. And I don't know if you've guys ever had this at your schools, if you've had it or not. We've had something called where we'd kind of like pass around this little toy or whatever it was, and just when we held on to it, that means like we had the floor, and we kind of talked about what was bothering us. And then I would always talk about stuff like I'm talking about in Corsair Radio. But not really. It would be really specific to the school. And I would say, like, why is the school so boring? Why doesn't anything ever change? Why does it feel like I'm a slave over here? Why does it feel like this? And the other students would basically just agree with me, and they would clap for anything that I had to say. This really happened. So the thing was that, and I really felt good. Because I was talking about the stuff that was actually an issue for me and not an issue for the media. Now, I know you hear out there other radio announcers are going to be talking about what's hip right now to be talking about. Did you hear about Justin Bieber's latest accuser? The new baby mama, yada, yada, yada. Oh, did you hear about Lindsay Lohan and what happened with her going to jail and her getting blah 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 whatever? Okay, and they speak about that. But then when I kind of sit in my car and I listen to these announcers talking about these things, and I'm like, why do I care? I honestly couldn't care less. This information is about to make me puke. It's so rampant, and it's so it means nothing to me anymore. How is this going to affect me in my everyday life? The troubles that I have are like, where the heck is there a job in this city that I can latch onto and that I can be passionate about and something that I go into every day and I give it my 110%? And I don't think that Justin Bieber or Lindsay Lohan relates to any of that stuff in any way possible. That's my two cents. Those are my opinions. What's yours? So, as I was saying, you know, guys, I don't know, but people who know me personally, I'm not really an angry person. I'm not like mad at everything. I'm not always like steaming at the thing. I don't have an angry personality. But because of the way things are in reality, it doesn't really feel like the things that I see going on now, where everybody just talks about, oh, the economy is bad and student loan debt, and then the media spends time talking about that, and then the media just jumps onto Herman Cain's latest sexual abuser, Lindsay Lohan and Justin Bieber. That might be fine for other people who are interested in that stuff, who want to listen to that stuff. Go right ahead. It's your life. It's a free country. Do what I want to do. But I'm just disgusted and pissed that stuff like this is hogging up all the attention while people like me, who did what they had to do in the first place, who studied hard, got their grades, answered job applications, went to every single store out there to fill up an application, see where they can get hired, do what they had to do, and then they get nothing and no attention at all. Do you think that pisses me off? You bet it does. And I don't see any other talk radio show hosts or media personalities out there talking about this, other than me, and I'm doing that right now. What do you think? Anyway, like I said, it doesn't feel like I am, because I'm latching on to another song over here, and I'll tell you what that song is. So as I was saying, it doesn't feel like with the current way that I see society right now and things that are going on right now in the media and politics. And not only that I'm not just thinking about the media and politics to solve all my problems. I am actively looking for some work and employment. It really doesn't feel like right now I am living. It just feels that right now I am kind of just surviving, going with the flow. But I'm instead of this, you know, I love doing this. I love when I come into this room, I speak in this mic, and I tell you guys how I'm feeling. Now it feels like I'm living. But for the rest of it, when I see what's going on around me, it doesn't feel like I'm living. It just feels like I'm surviving. And I think this song, that the next one I'm going to play, it's by Rise Against the Machine, Re-Education Through Labor, puts that into perspective, where it says, we don't live, we just survive. Here, take a listen with me. Enjoy it.
Oh!
Okay, so that was Rise Against the Machines, a song called Re-Education Through Labor. And I think in this song that we just heard and the other song that we just heard, in Do You Know the Enemy, I think the most important lyric in that song was that silence is the enemy, you know, you're, and I think that's true. Silence is the enemy, because being silent when something, I think it was Martin Luther King who quoted that people who just stay silent when terrible things are happening, they're the ones who are, I'm not going to say just as guilty as the people who are actually doing whatever it is that's causing trouble, but they're almost just as much as the part of the problem, the people who are being silent and saying nothing when the terrible things are going on. So silence is truly the enemy. And as we just heard re-education through labor, I think that was, but this Rise Against the Machine, these folks sure do have a lot of fans. They have a ton of fans from what I saw there, and they were all cheering and applauding and everything like that, because I think this is the way people feel. Now, I don't know if it's specific to this song, because I don't really listen to songs like this much. I just use them for their passion and everything like that. But I'm just gonna tell you right here, right now. I think the most important lyrics to that song is that what I just said. We don't live, we just survive. And I think that is true also when you look at people who are in my situation. Of course, we do have our good, fun, happy moments here and there. But our dreams, the dreams that we had since childhood, are getting messed up because it's this bad economy. And all people can say is, oh, well, too bad. And I just don't think that's coherent anymore. I don't think that's cogent at all. Because we've done nothing to deserve to be a victim of something that we had no control over in the first place. And I am a big believer in that. That no one should ever be... We're not living in biblical times. We're not living in the time of Adam and Eve, where, who was it? Eve ate the apple, the forbidden fruit, and all of a sudden all of humanity got punished for that. We're living in a time where people have individual responsibility and everything like that, and I think that's important as well. People should have individual responsibility. So whatever happened with the bank bailouts and everything like that shouldn't have affected my generation at all, because we've done nothing to contribute to it. In fact, what I'm thinking is that we should have reparations anyway for something like that happening to us. Anyway, I also wanted to say, and I had a lot of other stuff to go over today, but I'm reaching my hour limit. I wanted to say that the whole reason I'm doing this talk show thing and I didn't become a politician is that politicians have to be very, very careful in what they say, because they're put under a microscope. But we talk show hosts, we speak from the heart. We speak from what's really going on, what we're really thinking, what our thoughts are, what our passion is. And I admire that, and I enjoy that. So that's why I decided to do this, and I decided to not look at politics. What else do I have to get out there before I go? All the rest that I have to say is that you're listening to... of course, you're listening to Corsair Radio. And you're listening to Arealistic Linguistics, Episode 3. And episode 4 is coming soon, probably in the next week, where I'm going to talk about if I had a solution to all of these problems we're facing, what would that be? Because in one of my first episode, I told Oliver, all I'm hearing are problems, 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 and no solutions. So I'm going to go to solutions to how I think these problems can be solved that are bothering me. And I'm a little bit incoherent, I know that. But, I mean, cut me some slack. The entire Wall Street movement was incoherent from the beginning of the whole thing. And I think they're still incoherent. But I just started going on my rants today. And hopefully by next week, I won't be as incoherent as the Occupy Wall Street movement.
Even though this show is not as coherent as what you would expect, actually, you know what? By calling myself incoherent, I'm really not cutting myself that much slack. I think I'm coherent about what the problems are, as in, the typical problem is joblessness that's going on today for the college graduates and everything like that. That's the main problem. And the second problem is that when we're younger, I think the method that we get matriculated into society, for all of you guys who probably don't know what matriculated means, is the way that people mix into society is called matriculation. Now, it's not just for let me give you an example. When people go into, when you're accepted into a college, you matriculate into that college. When you get accepted as the citizen of the United States, you matriculate into the United States. So matriculation is when you mix into something that now you're a part of, but before you weren't a part of it. And I think the way that young people in the society today are matriculated into adulthood is based on nothing and is purely arbitrary, and it has nothing to do with experience and knowledge. It has everything to do with age, and I think that's wrong. And I think that the coherence in my show came a lot from not only what I was saying, but from the music also. I mean, that Martin Luther King auto-tune remix, which was pretty cool, when he said, "I have a dream that one day my children will not be judged by the color of their skin. I always had a dream that young people would never be judged by their age, but by their actions." And I know you can say that, well, that's happening. You just have to think about it a little bit. But it's not happening on a scale that I'm just seeing all of these stereotypes everywhere. Now, also you got to think about those, of course, those two other, the other music that I played on my show, the one talking about Your Enemy, the Do You Know Your Enemy by Green Day. Basically, they said that, that one was a little bit incoherent, but they said, "Do you know your enemy? Do you know who the enemy is?" And for me, I think that they said violence is an energy, but I think that violence is definitely not the right energy. Violence is a wrong energy. I have no idea what they meant in that song by violence is the energy. I don't particularly see the band of Green Day being like a violent, like metal band like Slipknot or any of those other like crazy people. I don't know, I just think they're crazy. But I think that violence is the wrong energy. I think the real energy that you have, I think the ultimate energy that in this world is knowledge. You know the old saying, knowledge is power. And I think knowledge is an energy, and your voice is an energy. Speaking is an energy too. I mean, whether I like him or don't like him, whether you like him or not, you have to admit that President Obama was a great orator. And I think I'm a great orator too. I mean, I'd love it if I could go up to a microphone and give speeches all day long. I mean, some people are terrified of that. They don't want to stand in front of a large group of people and just speak their mind or say what they want. They have stage fright. I also get stage fright, I'm not gonna lie, but I see the public speaking as something that gives me energy instead of takes energy away from me. Whereas, of course, a basketball player would see basketball as something that takes a little bit of energy from him, but also gives him energy because he likes it. Me, not so much. I'm not that much of a basketball guy, but like I like tennis, like I said, like 100 times. But I see public speaking as something that is fun, can be fun and exciting, and that I like.
because when I took a public speaking class, I didn't take it because I had to take it. I took it because of my talent and just what I wanted people to know. So I said, what's the next step in people hearing my voice? This is great and all, but it's just happening in this classroom. It's not happening on a worldwide scale and something like that, And as a speaker, I know that when I keep using the word like and if and are very bad habits, and I'm gonna admit that. But you gotta admit, Obama does it too. And when you're doing something live that's not pre-recorded, you're gonna have those like moments. And I think it's best that you practice. Practice makes perfect. And I have to practice in front of a mirror or practice in front of something else from time to time to not have all of those moments. But anyway, I'm going way off on a tangent, but this is how the show is. It has its tangent moments. So, but what I'm basically trying to get out there is that things have to change. And I don't even want a revolution. I know on my show last time I said, how will the revolution happen? But I'm not one of those guys who are like, oh, we need the revolution to happen now. The revolution is very important for the people. Holla balla, comrade this, comrade that. We will have revolution. I use the Russian accent because I think it kind of fit in with the whole like the communist revolution. But no, I'm not a communist revolutionary, or a big revolutionary for that matter. I'm just a guy who wants things to make sense. And what I see going on now in our society, it doesn't make any sense to just have all these young people out there who are capable, who are intelligent, who have passion, and who are like that, and just to treat them and just to put them on the side of the road and just come up with a dumb excuse of the economy being bad, so that's going to put your life on hold and there's nothing you can do about it. I think we really have to think about what's going on right now. And I think the best way to reverse this terrible epidemic of what we're seeing now is not to be silent, not to not say anything, not to just let it happen, but to speak out our minds. Now, I'm not saying that the Occupy Wall Street movement, I when it was first happening, I was a little bit iffy about it. But now when I see that they're just like sitting there in all of these tents, and they're just like, some of them are defecating and urinating in public places, it just bothers me. I think there's a better way to do this. And I'll talk about that during my next show.
So you're listening to Corsair Radio, and I have to get this out. This is Arealistic Linguistics, my ideas, my opinions, my thoughts, my philosophies. So the content of Corsair Radio doesn't necessarily represent the Santa Monica College, not the Santa Monica College, it's just called Santa Monica College, the faculty, the staff, the employees, or the student body. And I always told you, now I'm going to spell it, because it's nearing the end of my show. You want to get in contact with me, my email is smartman400@yahoo.com. That's spelled SMARTMAN, the numbers 400, the at sign, YAHOO, the dot, com, COM, and my Facebook name is Ariel Bakshanan. That's spelled ARIELBAKSHANDEH. It is my sincere hope that you enjoyed what you just heard today, and you enjoy passionate talk show hosts, if that's the kind of person you are. If that's the kind of person you aren't, I don't know why you still haven't changed the station. I'm just kidding. You like I want as much attention as I can get. That's the whole reason why I decided to do this little thing. Not a little thing. Hopefully this is a big thing and this is a big deal, but unfortunately I'm not getting paid, but I'd love to get paid and do what I love, but right now I'm just doing what I love without getting paid. Hopefully the pay will come later in life. What else do I have to say? And, let's see. Yeah. that is it for Arealistic Linguistics, Episode 3. Stay tuned for Episode 4. Thank you. Good night.